It is so good to be with all of you. I say this on a regular basis, and by the way, for those of you that are here for the first time, my name is Kirk, and it's so good to be here. Sunday after Sunday, we gather together, God's people gather together to worship and to study and to fellowship and to be the body of Christ. And I have a particular desire now for these times together because, well, for those of you that maybe don't know, I've been spending much of my weekdays in Ohio with my daughter in the hospital. And so coming home for the weekend is always a delightful thing. Delightful to be with my family. Delightful to be with my Sio family. And it's just really, really good to be here with all of you this morning. Last week we began a brand new series with a brand new year. And the series is called Bless. And we said that this new year we want to take baby steps. Well, we always want to be taking steps in our growth, our relationship with Christ, our in New Year's resolutions and growing. And growth doesn't just happen automatically, but we have to take concrete steps. And we said last week that the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Some of you just haven't had a lot of experience eating elephant. So for those of you that haven't, eating an elephant one bite at a time is the best way to do it. Though, honestly, I don't really recommend eating elephants. The point being, little steps taken over a long period of time can really produce the results and change that we want in ourselves, in our families, in our lives, and ultimately in our world. In following our mission, we exist as a church to really do two things. To fulfill the Great Commission, which is making disciples of all nations, and then the great commandment, which is to love God and love our neighbor. And we do it by serving our communities, by sharing our story, and ultimately by sending disciples out to bless the nations for the purpose of glorifying God. That's why we're here. And this is about serving communities. It's about sharing our story. It's about sending disciples. So last week's challenge, our baby step, our week challenge, our bite, if you will, was, anyone remember? Bless one person. That was it. Last week's challenge, bless one person this week. We didn't define what that means or how that means. We just said, ask God who you can bless and bless one person. And as a family, one of the advantages about not being a mega church with thousands of people is that we're a family, we're an intimate group, we're brothers and sisters together. And so I want to begin, really before we begin this week's message, to reflect on last week's message and blessing one, at least one person a week. I mean, daily's good. Hourly is even better. But I wondered, who would like to share some stories or a story about a person that they blessed? This isn't a chance for you to be all humble and shy, but just share a story or a story about how you tried to bless someone. Maybe it was a complete failure. I shared one of my failures with that last week. But what have you done this in the last 7 days to bless one person? Anybody? Oh, we're starting right up front. What? Tell us what happened.
I gave my friend one of my favorite toys.
Gave your friend one of your favorite toys. What a great way to bless someone. Fantastic. All right, top that, you guys. Come on. She set the bar so high. Seriously, no one did anything for a week? It doesn't have to be a big deal, and that's the whole thing. That's great. I'm sure that blessed his day, especially with everyone else that ignored him. Yeah, sometimes just listening can be one of the greatest gifts you can give another person. Right?
I took a young child out to dinner with one of the biggest friends that has no father, because I know what it's like to grow up without a father. And it brought me back to the times where a couple of guys took me out. With their sons, you know, back when I was a kid, just because they knew. They didn't ask if I wanted to go. They just said, come on, come out to dinner with them. You know what I'm saying? It's not a big deal. It's so not a big deal. I don't like to share things like that, but it's, you know, it felt good. Because I knew it was not for me.
Terrific. Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing. Anyone on this side of the room? Lewis, you're not on this side. Sorry. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Not about me, believe me. Absolutely. Yep, giving it time. Tom. That's great. Yeah, Roy.
I just was at the Walmart buying a whole bunch of stuff for my car. Some oil and some of the other things and stuff. And so as I went through the checkout counter, the lady said, what do you do with all that stuff? I said, well, I'll keep my car happy. She said, no, I got to get my oil changed because I had an older car. So I gave her two of the injectors.
That's great. Okay. Well, you guys, you blew your chance. We're just gonna. No. Go ahead, Ben. You just want him on your side of the room, right? Okay. One more, Jennifer. Absolutely.
And to keep going and bless the person who has done the receiving end
terrific. Yeah, thanks for sharing. I'm sure there's so many more stories. And the idea wasn't to do it like, okay, bless one person this week and you're done for the rest of your life, but rather that we would be incorporating rhythm and pattern in our lives, because it's little things, little baby steps over time. If you remember last week, we talked about an axe and a tree. And it doesn't matter how big the tree is. If you take five swings with an axe at a tree, well, it's probably not going to really do a whole lot. But if you do it the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, depending on how big the tree is, eventually that tree's going to fall down. We overestimate what we can do in a day or a week or sometimes in a minute. And we underestimate what we can do in a year or a lifetime. And that together as a family, as a church, as a bride of Christ, we want to be about blessing people. We want to be about daily, weekly, regularly taking steps. The other big thing we talked about last week, and we'll continue to mention, is this idea of just being God's Word. His Word is truth, and we have to fill our mind with it. And you don't have to read the whole Bible today. In fact, we're going through the whole New Testament this year, which is a chapter a day. Chapter a day. And at the end of the year, you've read through the whole New Testament. Last year we did it, we read through the whole Bible. And it's just these little steps, these little things. So today we're going to talk about a new step in our process, in this whole blessing. The B stands for bless everyone. And we're going to talk about the L today. But first let's pray. Jesus, I thank you once again for your Word. And I thank you that you, Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life. And we have your Word, we have your truth to read and study. But more than just studying a book, I'm so glad that you are alive and you are well. And that we can know not just about you, but we can actually know you, our Creator God. I pray that in our moments together, that the words in my mouth and the meditations in my heart would please you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, we just prayed. I just prayed. What is prayer? Conversation. I heard a couple different words. I used to think prayer was talking to God. And as I got older, I realized it's so much more than talking to God. Have you ever had a person in your life and they talked and they talked and they talked and they would never shut up and you're just like, this is not a relationship because you're not even letting me talk. Maybe you feel that right now because I'm talking and you're not. Like, stop, stop. But conversations often go one way, and prayer is not just talking to God, it's talking with God. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue. And if you're like me, well, I do like to talk, and Donna likes to talk. I guess it's fitting that people up front like to talk. Some of you are shy. You don't like to talk. You stay in the back. That's good. We're all wired differently. But it's been suggested we've been given one mouth and two ears for a reason, right? You've all heard about that. That we need to spend time listening. And I get in so much trouble because I'm not the best listener. And a lot of stuff. Well, the B in bless is bless everyone. And the L, as you can probably figure out, is to listen. Is to listen. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to really listen? Not just pick up bits and pieces, but to really fully engage with what someone is saying. Some of you right now, listen. I'm talking to you. Fully engage. Just kidding. But it's hard to get someone to really pay attention to you. I mean, even customer service. Remember what that used to be? You know, it's like talking to a machine, pone numero dos, and pressing all these buttons. And it's like, I need to communicate something. Will someone listen to me? I find it so challenging personally, though, to be a good listener. And very often it's very intimidating for me to stand up and share and preach God's Word, because God's Word tells us the truth and the way that we are to live our lives. And really, every week I stand up and I realize how far I fall short. It's great for me to say, listen. But honestly, this is a particular area where I'm really trying to grow and be a better listener. It's been said that the opposite of listening is not speaking, but rather waiting to speak. It's easy to think about what the other person is saying, but even more about what you want to say in response. Have you ever had that? You're talking to someone and you're like, you're really not even listening to what they're saying because you're so busy formulating your own thoughts about what you're going to say next. If you don't believe me, check out these rotten e-cards I found this week. I wasn't ignoring you. I just simply forgot to listen. Sure, I'm a good listener as long as we're talking about how great I am. Have you ever met someone like that? I found this one. If I'm not trying to interrupt you, I'm probably not listening. Yeah, thanks for listening to my problems and somehow making it all about you. You ever known someone like that? Or this final one. I don't like to think before I speak. I like to be just as surprised as everyone else by what comes out of my mouth. Yes. Yes. Well, being fully present in the moment and truly listening to another person is rare. And Rebecca, I loved what you said, because clearly that person in that story you shared recognized that you were fully listening to them, that they weren't even trying to get your attention, but you stopped and you paused enough to listen to them. How many of you have listened to another person? How many of you are listening right now? Listening may be as powerful as anything that you will ever say. So here's a question this morning. How many of you have ever heard God speak in an audible voice? Honestly, sometimes I wish He would. I wish He would speak in an audible voice. You know, the crystal clear voice, like, Kirk, this is what I want. You know, it's like, okay, great. There's no doubt about that. I can hear it. Or even an email. I would really be great. Every day I check my email looking for, you know, God@God.com, and it's never there. But it would be so nice to get not just the Word of God, which we know is truth and it's alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, but some like up-to-date thing like, this is what you should wear on Sunday morning as you preach, or this is the decision you should make, or this is the movie that you should rent tonight with your family. Because I need help sometimes with these things in life. But I certainly need help in even bigger things. Sometimes I wish that God would speak really, really clearly. And really, I love to see Him too. I've been told that He looks a little bit like Morgan Freeman. If you're unfamiliar, well, check this out. Now, how many of you would like to encounter God like that, give you clear instructions? This is what I want you to do. I think there are times where we want that, and there's other times that, quite honestly, we're glad, because there would be so much responsibility. so much accountability. I mean, it's one thing to have an idea in your mind, but it's another thing to have God tell you, build an ark, leave your family, go to this place, do this thing. Pretty scary stuff. But God wants to know us, and He wants to speak to us. He wants to develop a relationship with us, and relationships always require communication. They require time. They require spending time with Him. They require speaking and listening both. See, the truth is our Father loves us and He wants what's best for us. He can be trusted always. And if prayer is more than just talking to God, it obviously involves in listening to God. So, you know, I want to just talk a little bit about how to listen to God. How to listen to God. Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God." For some of you, just 10 seconds of stillness was pretty awkward, pretty uncomfortable. It's because we live in such a busy, noisy world. I think God wants to speak to people. I talk to people all the time, like, I just want to hear God's voice. I want to know His will for my life. But we're so busy, like God's speaking to us. He's all around us. But often we just drown Him out with all the noise. It's like we're driving 70 miles an hour on the expressway and He's right outside our window just trying to talk. He's talking and talking, but the window's rolled up, the stereo's on, the air conditioner's blowing. We just can't even hear Him. There are actually many ways in which we can hear from God, and the first one was actually demonstrated in a video clip. It was actually going and looking in the Word of God. The Bible, that's the essential place where we can find and hear God's will, His voice, His plans, His purposes. And I love that we're going through the Bible together as a church. I love that each day we're able to go on Facebook, and hopefully, I know a lot of you are doing this, go on our Facebook page and seeing the daily readings and reflections and commenting and interacting. What is God saying? What is He speaking to us? The purpose of God's Word is not just to fill our heads with information. We might as well just go buy an encyclopedia and memorize that. There's something so much more powerful about the Word of God. And as we feed and consume our minds with, we'll know God's plans and His purposes in our life. But He also speaks through other things like circumstances and people, and often sometimes just a nudge, a still small voice in our hearts. It's not really audible, but it's often just as real. What has God been saying to you? What has God been telling you lately? You know, as much as I love to think about prayer as a conversation with God and not merely talking to God, I admit that sometimes timing is one of those things that frustrates me. You know, I'll set aside a minute and I like God on demand. All right, God, I'm going to give you the next 60 seconds. Tell me everything you want me to know. And then I need to get busy. You ever done this? Like, I need you now. Okay, time's up. I got to move on. Instead of giving God time and space just to reflect. Can you imagine going on a date with somebody? Be like, okay, we're having dinner. I got 2 minutes. Let's go. Tell me everything you... It's not enough time. That's exactly right. That God requires time. You know, they say that love is spelled T-I-M-E. And yet, how much time do we spend just being still and quiet and listening to God? I found this brief interview with Mother Teresa this week, and I can't verify its authenticity, but it certainly seems legitimate. The interviewer said, "So, Mother Teresa, you talk to God?" She said, "Yes." "What do you say?" "Nothing." "Does He talk back?" "Yes." "What does He say?" "Nothing." There's something about presence. There's something about just time and being still and quiet. And most every time when I've asked God to clarify something, "Speak to me," like the passage we read in Samuel, "Speak to me, Lord, your servant hears." Almost every single time I've asked God to speak to me about something, he responded with silence. Total silence. That's frustrating. That's really frustrating to me because I want it now. I mean, if I text you, I want a response. Right? I don't want to text back three weeks later. Oh yeah. I'll pick up the eggs for you. Oh goodness. We like it on demand. Everything is on demand. But here's what I found. The more time I spend with God being still and quiet and listening, the more His voice eventually is heard. The more time He eventually just shows up like Morgan Freeman and invades my life in a good way. He hasn't told me to build an ark yet, fortunately. But I can tell you time after time after time where God has clearly spoken to me. And it might just be a word. It might be a phrase, a sentence, a picture. And every time He does, it just reminds me that this really is a relationship. That I have a relationship with the Creator God. That it's not merely some religion that I'm throwing up prayers to the sky and hoping that something actually happens. But that I'm able to know and be known by God. And friends, there's nothing God wants more than to know you and to be known by you. Nothing. That's what God is all about, is relationship. You go back to the very first pages of the Bible. God creates Adam and Eve. Because He's lonely? Hardly. But because He wants to have a relationship with us. Friends, God speaks today. Listen to these promises of God. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And again, some of you are probably like, man, I've been seeking God for so long and I haven't found Him yet. Sometimes it takes time. I don't really understand why. But His timing is perfect. And we sang this morning, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord. Sometimes I don't like to sing that song because it just reminds me of the painful process of waiting on the Lord. But it's worth it. Jeremiah says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And from the book of Habakkuk, how many of you, Habakkuk is your favorite book of the Bible? Some of you are like, I didn't even know Habakkuk was in the Bible. But check this out. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what He will say to me. And what answer I am to give him to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on my tablets so that a herald may run with it. This guy, Habakkuk, is seeking after God. He's seeking to know God and to listen to God. And sometimes it does feel like God is hard to get. He's silent. But eventually the voice of God is heard. And it's a beautiful thing. Often when I least expect it, it's just like, surprise! And there He is. So here's the challenge for this week. It's actually very, very simple. Spend 1 hour listening to God. 1 hour listening to God. You have 168 this week. Spend 1 hour listening to God. Some of you are like, oh, I do this all the time. I'm contemplative. I love to be still and quiet. And I don't like noise and I'm an introvert. And this is like the greatest challenge I've ever been given in my whole life. Kids, shh, Pastor said I get to spend an hour just listening to God. Oh, you can send all your happy mail this week, you know. Some of you are like, an hour with God? That 10 seconds a few minutes ago just about freaked me out. What in the world am I going to do? Be still. Be quiet. In case you're envisioning, like sitting in a room just staring at the wall thinking, what do we do? Or looking out waiting for the grass to grow. Like, okay, God, here I am, listening, speaking. Few tools I want to offer you just to think about. One is to prepare. And this might be fasting, it might be praying, it might be asking other people to pray, but kind of like, hey, I'm going to spend some time with God. I hope He speaks. Don't rush. You can't expect a great dinner with a friend in 60 seconds, like I said. But nor can you expect a great conversation with God on the fly. And also, find a good place, a quiet place. It's usually a good place. I know some people, they actually like noisy places to meet with God. And if that works for you, that's cool. But set aside some time. A good time and a good place to be with God. Second thing is to ask questions. One of the best ways to listen to God is to ask Him a question. Following last week's question, last week's theme, God, who and how can I bless this week? Third one, listen. Jesus' half-brother James wrote, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And this is sort of the heart of it, right? To listen to God. And then Take notes. Write down whatever thoughts, whatever impressions come to mind. I often do what I call red letter journaling. And some of you that are more tech savvy, like, it's really hard for me sometimes to just pray and keep all the thoughts in my mind. So I'll journal. And I prefer to journal on my laptop. And what I'll do is I'll write out my prayers. I'll type out my prayers. I'll close my eyes and I'll just type and I'll just pour out my heart to God. And then I usually ask this question, Lord, is there anything that you want to say to me? And then I'll change the color of the font to red. And I'll just write out whatever comes to mind. And you're like, well, how do you know that's God? We're getting there, and I'm not claiming it always is. But when I go back and I review my notes, I can see, what did I say and what do I believe that maybe God was saying to me? And it's been a really simple but really powerful process. Something maybe some of you would want to take advantage of. Of course, you can do the same thing with pen and paper. But writing out your prayers, what's your heart? And then listen and write out whatever might be coming to mind. And then the hardest thing is obey. A man once asked God, why don't you feed the starving people around the world? To which God replied, why don't you feed the starving people around the world? God may speak through other people too. Just keep your eyes open. Which all begs one question again. How do you know it's God? And many cults have been formed. Many false religions have been formed because someone says, well, God told me to fill in the blank. So how do you know it's really from God? First, it takes time. Imagine that I called you up on the phone and you didn't know who I was. I was just a stranger maybe. You didn't have caller ID even. So the phone rings, you pick it up. Like, hello? And hey, how's it going? You'd be like, who is this? But if I called you every day, you'd be like, oh, hey, Kirk, how's it going? Good to hear your voice. I know your voice. I recognize it. It takes time to recognize the voice of another person. But over time, and the more you do it, and the more you listen, you'll begin to notice, I think that sounds like the voice of God. By the way, for those of you that are under 25, a phone call is what we used to do with phones before texting. I just wanted to say that. But you build this, you recognize the voice. And that's actually one of the things that's a really unfortunate thing about texting, is you don't get the voice. Right? A lot of these phones, it's just, you just see words. But there's something about the voice, the tone of the voice. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, as was read earlier. I know them and they follow me. So first and foremost, how do you know if it's from God? What does the Bible say? God will never contradict himself, period. Period. Bill Hybels tells this great story about this guy. They were raising money at Willow Creek Community Church and they were trying to do a fundraiser. And this guy came up to him and said, Pastor, God told me to tell you we're supposed to take all the money that we've raised and go buy lottery tickets and then we'll win the lottery and have enough to finish the project. And Hybels wisely and rather boldly said, thanks for sharing, but that wasn't from God. The guy's like, no, you don't understand. God told me this was really clear and I'm supposed to tell you. God told me to tell you. And he said, no, it's not from God. And the guy is like getting really offended. Like, you don't understand. How dare you tell me that this isn't from God? You're not trusting me. And he simply said, the Bible has plenty of scriptures to talk about get-rich-quick schemes. And I mean, it doesn't specifically say lottery in the book of Proverbs. But the principles that were, he said, God would never, ever violate his word. He would never contradict the things that are in his word. So no, it's not from God. Maybe a bad lunch you had, but that wasn't from God. But thanks for sharing. So what does the Bible say? Always the most important thing. Second thing is wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. Sometimes I feel like God's saying something to me. I have to ask a friend, hey, does this sound like God? Does this make sense to you? Third thing, pray for confirmation. If the message is persistent, it may be valid. And sometimes God will like tell you, build an ark. Well, okay, most of the time he doesn't say that. But sometimes he'll tell you something like, build an ark. And you kind of brush it aside and it's there. Build an ark. No, it's build an ark. And over time, it's like, okay, I think this is what's going on. You know, looking at the Rices, I'm sure, how many times did you question maybe God's call to start Great Commissionaire or different decisions that you've made in ministry? Like, just kind of blow off God for a while and he just keeps coming back. And it's like, okay, I get it. This is what I'm supposed to do. And there's constant confirmation. Yep. Absolutely. Fourth thing, is it possible? If God tells you to do something and you're like, okay, I can handle that, it's probably not from God. Now, that's not always true, and don't misquote me on that. But very often the things that God asks us to do are impossible in our own eyes. And God wants us to trust Him. Trust Him. If it seems crazy, it might be from God. I'll just leave it at that. Fifthly, peace. Do you have a peace about it? Do you have a sense that, yeah, this just feels right in my spirit. It lines up with all the other things. And then obey God. And it goes back to the first thing that we said before. You have to know the truth, Jesus and His Word. Don't expect it to be politically correct either. Because God has a way of asking us to do some pretty outrageous things. Scripture is full of them. But those that obey find delight in the Lord. God can be trusted. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will know His good and perfect will. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. Have you ever noticed how Jesus was always taking time to pray, always time to get away with the Father to know what He was saying? And I used to think that He did all the talking, but again, as I get older, I realize He did a lot of listening. We think prayer is just telling God stuff, pouring it all out. But how often do you listen when you pray? How often do you pause and say, God, speak to me? So, in conclusion, check this out.
When you make a life for yourself, you listen to your friends. When you listen to your friends, you get shot again. When you get shot again, you sail far away. When you sail far away, you land on a deserted island. When you land on a deserted island, you're lonely. When you're lonely, you talk to Wilson. Don't listen to Wilson. Listen to God.
Yeah, so we're pretty highbrow around here. But in all seriousness, the challenge this week is spend an hour listening to God. I put a ton of notes online at PastorKirk.com. A lot more things and details about like ways to listen to God and a classic devotional from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. You can check all that stuff out tomorrow at PastorKirk.com. I encourage you to, if this is new to you, this idea of like listening to God, some steps you can take, and we'll have all the notes as well from today. But this is my prayer for us as a church, that this week we'd be blessing people and we'd spend an hour listening to God. And again, don't just listen, like journal, write down, take notes of what He might say. And there might not be anything. You might spend an hour and go, man, I wasted that hour. Friends, you didn't waste the hour. What you've done is you've made deposits in your relationship with God. And it's going to prime the pump all the more for Him to speak to you. But be ready to obey.